Hey, who are you keying the mic? This is Super Stud. What's your 12?
Oh, I need a handle.
Little Beaver, where's your little beaver?
Little Beaver is female.
All right, little beaver out there? Little Beaver means your daughter. That's the wrong CB term.
Uh-oh, I'm kind of bad anyway.
Mercy sakes alive.
I'm Big Daddy.
Big Daddy?
Yeah.
That sounds kind of sexy.
I'm full of vitamins.
Well, nobody knows where the teddy bear goes.
Hammer off. I got an hairpin coming.
Looks like you got a porcupine on the road. I can see you got a lot of antennas on your truck. Hey, did you just blow that last chicken coop?
I sure did.
Pull the hammer back. We're coming up to the truck stop. Can you see it up ahead? It's Penny's.
Shiny side up and the green side down.
It looks like we got a rocking chair in the middle of the highway.
Oh, we sure do.
No, literally.
Wish I would have known about it before.
Well, bring your San Quentin jailbait buns on over. It's time to start the show.
Go ahead, Latrine Lips.
We're inside Penny's Pit Stop in Perth. Scott and I decided we were going to do an episode together in the same place. So we've got a mic set up here.
We understand there's a lot of listeners in Perth.
That's one of the reasons. Scott, you said we should do this show halfway around the world.
Yep.
We should meet halfway.
Yep.
So we both rented big rig trucks. Mm-hmm. We both know how to drive big rigs, for one thing. Mm-hmm. We know our history.
Yeah.
You know, we were both truckers mm-hmm. for a long time.
Yeah.
Scott and I were bunk mates.
Ray was one ratchet job.
Oh, I was a real ratchet job.
So we came down here. We thought we could sell a few t-shirts. So, yeah, we said we'll meet halfway. And you left about 3 weeks ago.
That's right. We got some 1017 to deal with today, which means urgent business.
No, but it ain't no suppository.
It sure ain't.
10 Roger.
1034.
Threes and eights. Just kidding. Let's do the show.
You're one turkey. You sure are one turkey, as the trucker says. You sure are one turkey, as the trucker says. Bring over some apple pie. Make it Alamo.
Are we talking about concrete blondes?
Oh. I'm talking about walkie-talkies.
Oh, turkey.
Looks like you got a woolly bear. Which, that's a word for a woman. A woolly bear. Why?
A galabuana.
Oh, this is from the 70s, woolly bear. Because
exactly.
Ladies were different in the 70s.
They sure were. Like, you'd had quite a few two-stool beaver.
Yeah. Tell the folks again how we decided to do this show here. Why are we in Perth, Ontario?
Well, we're here because we heard that there was a big fan club in Perth for Future Jerks, and we're trying to really get out there and press the flesh as much as we can, because we think that it's mostly through word of mouth, your incredible reviews on iTunes that you're leaving for us, that will eventually break this to an even wider audience. We also have some merchandise that we printed. Well, that's why we're driving 18-wheelers, because we ordered a lot in bulk because it was cheaper. So we have roughly 50,000 t-shirts, hats, collector plates, frisbees. Scarves, those big foam hands with the finger.
Fake testicles you hang on the back of your pickup.
Truck nuts.
Yeah. Except we got them in threes. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah. We have Future Jerk doilies, Future Jerk mugs.
The doilies are delightful.
Skipping ropes, penis pumps.
We have those little forks you use to get olives out of the jar.
Yeah. Shot glasses and pens. I think that, well, anyway, you get an idea. There was a lot of stuff to we had.
Oh.
It's not, you know, you're not Horshack. Like, I know we're talking like the 70s, but you don't have to react like you're Horshack.
Cooking spray.
Yes. We have literally 500 cases of Future Jerk branded cooking spray.
Yeah, we got a kitchen gadget. We got this thing that takes celery and cuts it into smaller pieces of celery.
What do we call ours?
Cellislice. Boy.
It sells itself.
It's our internal marketing mantra.
Are you okay? You seem a little off.
I've got a little problem.
Herpes?
No.
The other thing?
Last episode, we had a musical guest, Red Sovon.
Yeah.
I think most of the people at home know that I just copied and pasted stuff in a sound editing program. And Red Sovine's been dead for years.
What?
Red Sovine died years ago. Something happened to me. I got up to take a dump during the middle of the night, and
just for future reference, that wasn't the information that you really needed to convey to everybody. Like, you could have just said, "I got up in the middle of the night." You didn't have
I got up in the middle of the night because I ate a lot of yams.
I pinched one out, and it was like taking the top off of like, you didn't need to do that.
We'll edit all that out.
Right, okay.
And I'll start again. Okay, last night, a few nights ago, I ate a lot of yams, like a comical amount of yams. And then I woke up in the middle of the night for no reason, not to go to the bathroom to defecate. A disturbing specter lay before me. It was the ghost of Red Sovine. So I've been haunted by his memory ever since. Yeah, I know. I don't even believe in ghosts except Casper. What do you think's going on here?
Well, it's obviously a Kyusu from the Great Beyond.
A Kyusu? What's that?
Somebody forget their CB lingo? Obviously, it means conversation or communication. If you were
a
little Kyusu, it moved to a different
channel.
I think
you mean a Kyuso.
I think that there's a little QSB going on right
How
here.
Do you spell, pronounce S-E-W?
QR Mary. Okay, I'm QC. I'm changing the channel here. This is, pull the hammer back. All right, guys?
I'll meet you in the rain locker, and we'll snap towels together.
You are like a porky
Listen,
bear.
I just told you I had a ghost visit. You would think there'd be a lot more questions about how I've been haunted by a ghastly specter from beyond.
Okay, now listeners, I know you might find that my lack of reaction to Ray and his story might suggest that I am somehow insensitive. However, you are not probably privy to the fact that this has been going on for the better part of, well, I've known you for 25 years, so 25 yep. years. But pretty well on a, I would say every 3 weeks, he's got a new one. Gary Coleman, Dabney Coleman, you know, Patrick Stewart. They're always just coming to him. Like, it's crazy. Like, you had the guy that was like the Goodfellas mobster guy. He came to you too?
The odd ghost once in a while, but I don't believe it.
You ain't afraid of no ghosts, is what you're saying.
Busting makes me feel good. By which I mean defecating, which I was doing during the night. I can admit, this is a podcast where I feel I can talk about those kind of movements. However,
I've got peanut butter in my ears, just so you know.
I'm in a complete state of disbelief about how I can see the ghost of Red Sovine. You started this podcast with the intention of becoming a well-known talk show host, but, you know, you gotta ask the biting questions. You gotta take a little leaf out of the book of David Frost.
Look, I think you're peddling in the middle, and to be honest, this is just another one of your crazy things. If you'd stop with the bath salts, you might not have these dreams, all right?
Listen, I gotta admit, I was not snacking on yams, I was snacking on hobos.
There you go. Are we gonna play the song?
Oh, yeah, right here. You know, I brought this 8-track player because we don't have the usual equipment, so I pulled this 8-track player out of my truck. I got my CB batteries hooked up. Hand me that jumper cable over there.
I'm just having a nice RC Cola.
RC Cola, are you some kind of sonnet? A CBer who advertises products over the air. How do you work an 8-track? I can't remember.
You just push it right in.
Oh, okay. Two jerks on the same side of a planet.
Scott Future in Perth, just outside of Ottawa, Canada.
And Ray Larrabee in Perth, just outside of Ottawa, Canada.
We are the Future Jerks. We are the Super Hosts 2000.
You want some apple pie?
Oh, it's good fixings.
Apple pie with some beans, please.
Just like Mom used to make. The intro.
Now, this is the part of the show where you learn a little bit about us.
And what we've been up to.
Oh, we've been up to a lot. You have some sort of squirrels going on in your house.
Oh, I've got so many squirrels. They're falling from the sky. That's how many squirrels I have.
So you confirm that there are squirrels. Attic or in your roof, or what was going on?
Well, I think they were in the attic, but now they're outside. I came out last Friday early. I had to go out early, like very early, like 6 a.m. They came crawling down my house, down the cedar in the front of my house, and it was like the birds, only squirrels.
That's disgusting.
I know.
You know I had that before, right?
Why do you always have to have what I have if I tell you a story?
Well, because, hey, I used to be a homeowner years ago.
I had squirrels, and they flew. I had squirrels, and they had bionic powers.
Here's my much more interesting story, what happened in my house.
Wait, you didn't let me finish.
Oh, okay.
No, go ahead.
My story's better. No, you go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say that as a result of all these squirrels being around my house, I have literally busloads of Japanese tourists stopping by, taking pictures of my house.
They love that stuff.
They love... You know, I think in Japan it's called first sushi.
Looks like we got a brown paper bag. you know, the Japanese love squirrels, but there's something else they love, which relates to my story. My house had some kind of crazy stuff going on in the attic. So this noise is going on in the attic. I'm like, what the hell's going on up there? I call a pest expert. They come over. He's like, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing up there.
Yeah, that's what my guy said.
I called another guy. Uh-huh. A little bit crazy, it seemed. He was kind of like a... He came out of the truck. He seemed like kind of a hippie.
Yeah.
Like his eyes were kind of messed up.
He was high.
No, he looked like a burnout from the 60s. This older guy. Dressed like kind of
like a
shaman.
Did he go like, hurt me?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
He goes up to the attic, and he comes down, and he says, you've got Pokemons up there. So then the Japanese tourists hear about this, and then we've got busloads of them coming to my house trying to catch them all.
I know this is probably maybe related to the next segment, but tomorrow I've got my first prenatal class.
Good Lord, what is a prenatal class?
Well, I think it's like before you learn how to steer a ship.
I don't even understand. You've already done the penis part. What else is there to do to being a parent? You're a father.
I know. I don't understand it either, but I'm forced to go. I'm just hoping that the people who are going to give the class, that they shave their armpits.
That kind of stuff?
I don't know. I don't know what to expect.
I think you can just make up your own.
You sound like you've been on blue meat. I don't know what to expect there. Like, I'm hoping that the only visual aids they dare use are puppets.
Oh, my God. They're going to show you
stuff
about the uterus.
Yeah, but I've heard that they have videos, and it's pre-grooming. It's like it's from the 70s.
Oh, you mean
something
with a beaver.
Exactly.
You mean beaver bait, beaver bear, beaver fever, beaver palace, beaver patrol, or beaver trap? It's all beaver. Mercy, mercy me.
Yeah, it's just peltastic.
On the next episode, please give us a report on baby jerks.
Yeah, I'll let you know, because I've got a lot to learn about where to drop her off and what the closest bar is.
Now listen to this. My dog ate a coin.
Oh, my God.
He ate a 5-yen coin, which is the one with the little hole in the middle.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have to hope that it's going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
They will, like, unless your dog eats a whole bunch of coins, it's probably not going to kill them. But, like, some dogs will eat pennies, and they'll get a copper coin.
Which one? Which?
Well, this would be the big one.
Oh, the big dog.
His feces is, the diameter is often larger than that coin.
Yeah, but it wasn't the new one.
No. That's never going to fit
it
out.
It was
there.
Melon that ate the coin.
Melon ate the coin, and we've been feeding him yams like crazy. Yesterday he had 4 yams. Today he's going to have 2.
That doesn't sound like a good thing for a dog.
What, yams?
Yeah.
Well, it's just pure sugar. Like, it doesn't have any nutritional quality, but it makes him poop.
Okay, because that's what dogs don't do.
I'm trying to make a lot. Like, this morning it was like an anaconda-sized...
Okay. Yeah, your story's much better. Wow.
Well, I had to squeeze it, too, just to feel around for the coin. But so far, no coin.
Why? You couldn't lose 5 yen?
Well, I want to make sure it's out.
Oh,
and, yeah.
Just assume it is.
What size of coin would you actually fish?
Are you
out?
That cheap?
What's your coin limit?
Okay,
what if there's a
$100
gold commemorative coin? Are you
gonna,
but
it's 5 yen. It's not even.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to figure where do you draw the line? Like a buck?
No, not a dollar.
$2?
No.
$2 coin?
No.
No.
I think I'm not even beginning that, and I'm not even looking for it. It's just if it happens to, I would let it harden and then. Smash it against the wall.
What if you could buy a dung beetle for less than the price of the coin and let the dung beetle work it out?
Well, that's not bad. You're squishing around dog poop?
Yeah.
Are you sure he wasn't just messing with you? Like, I ate the coin.
Well, the coin was
watch
on the floor
this,
for a
watch
second.
Watch this. I'll make him do this. I'll
well, you have,
eat the coin.
You have one of those vacuum cleaners. You have a Dyson, and to get the cleaning part off, you have to use a coin. So my wife put the coin on the floor and then looked back, and the coin was gone. The dog was sitting there. We looked everywhere for the coin, and that coin was nowhere to be found.
How do you know he's not saving up for, I don't know, buy one of those used panties?
He loves panties.
There you go.
Oh, my God. Because sometimes you see panties on the road.
Yeah.
Right? It's Japan.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, business and drops it out of his briefcase or whatever. And he'll go for it. Mm-hmm. He wants those panties big time.
Yeah.
He's panty crazed. Just like his daddy.
Just like in Revenge of the Nerds. Panty raid!
Panty raid!
Or wait, or is that Animal House?
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, Scott.
Thank you.
What should I do about this coin?
You know what? with the banking system the way it is, I think feed him more coins. Make him a little piggy bank.
That's the safest way to keep your money.
Exactly. That Dutch guy from ING knows nothing. You've got a guard dog, right?
Yep.
You got a guard dog for your money right there.
Tell those jerks on AM radio, stop telling old people to buy gold. Tell them to put coins into their pets.
That's the billion-dollar idea we need to do, is mix up the concept of pets.com with the gold and mix the two together.
My name is Wilford Brimley, and I want you to put coins inside your pets.
Exactly.
You'll never get old, and you'll never die. Start chomping right there.
Speaking of eating a human being, you know what I was reading about?
Well, what were you reading about?
I was reading about, that story about the dingo that ate the baby?
Dingo ate my baby.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's really all we know.
Well, everyone saw the movie A Cry in the Dark.
Yeah, well, apparently they've now said she did not kill her child. It was a dingo, in fact, that took away the baby.
I said that all along.
Did you?
No, I really thought she was guilty.
I thought it was a dingo that was using it as a piggy bank.
Now, do you ever think as a parent, speaking of parenting, why don't we go to the next segment, Baby's Jerks of the Future?
Oh, sure.
Babies, jerks of the future. Babies, jerks of the future.
This is the part of the show where I, an expected father of a lovely baby boy, will answer Ray's biting question about babies. Neither Ray or I are baby experts, so our advice should not be followed. Ray has never been a father, will never be a father, as he had his testicles chewed into a pulp by residents of a senior's home.
I'm walking down the street with my dog, and there's a seal in a tank.
What?
Yeah, there's a school. It was a really rich kid's school, and they had a swimming pool, outdoor swimming pool, with a seal floating around.
Fuck.
What?
There was a fuck.
That's right. That's French for seal. It's okay. Amazingly, our new software didn't bleep that out.
Well, because that's what we used to do in school, right? Is you'd always find a way.
Oh, you try to find hey, teacher, what's a seal called?
Exactly. You get to say it. And then we'd all laugh.
So the dog was face to face with a seal. To a dog, a seal is like a mermaid, right?
To a dog,
like
a land a seal dingo. Is a mermaid. Like I guess it would be.
We gave her dog a couple of sweet potatoes just for kicks. Uh-huh. My mother-in-law brought some sweet potatoes. Like, hey, why don't we get some of the dog. He loves sweet potatoes. He pooped after. The younger dog started playing with it and throwing it around the room. Wee, this is fun. And the guy got in the room and there was like poop thrown around everywhere.
Wait a minute. The dog enjoyed playing with poop? Is that what you were saying?
10-4, Big Beaver. What's your 20?
In my Neon Freon Iron Jockey. All right, so...
Neon Freon? Well, they ought to know what to do with them hogs out there for sure. Well, mercy.
I need a mud ball.
Scott, why don't you order us up a couple of beers? Or I'll just order them myself.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Hey, can we have a zoom, huh? So yeah, the little dog is playing with poop because it's if you feed a dog yams, he makes tasty poop apparently.
Well, speaking of poop, there was a commencement address that raised quite a stink. Get it? The segue raised
yeah,
quite a stink.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. But we were talking about yam poo, which doesn't stink at all.
Well, this
actually.
Is about them spewing out graduates into the world. So.
Oh, kind of like excreting them.
Exactly. So this Wellesley. High school English teacher made quite a stir when he told the graduates, you are not special. You are not exceptional.
Oh my God, it's true though, isn't it?
It's something we don't hear enough anymore. I mean, I am going to basically read that speech to my baby as a good night story. I think I might illustrate it.
I think it's a good idea. Because when we were kids, we were not...
How do you illustrate, how do you convey through illustration mediocrity?
Garfield. You just kind of draw your own little Garfield.
Yeah, okay. I think Jim Davis might have something to say about that. But okay, but I'm sorry. So yeah, back in the day, you weren't special.
Nobody said that, did they?
I don't think so. But if you were special, you were in a special class.
You're breaking the old needle. Yeah, I guess that we were considered special. But kids today are always being told they're special and unique, which doesn't make sense because how can everyone be special and unique?
That's right. They're not snowflakes.
Oh, I know. You should make your, like, take their photo, print it onto a brick, and then make a big wall, and then they could be one of the bricks in the wall. And they'll be like, oh my God, I'm not special at all. Kids are like packing peanuts. When I was a little kid, we used to take packing peanuts, and we'd take a black magic marker and we'd draw little penguins on them. This this is what we did. And then we'd put a toothpick as a penis, and we'd make them have sex with each other.
Were these packing peanuts from fudge?
They sure were.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was from like dark chocolate.
Recently, it was only a couple of years ago where there was a story, I think it was out of the Toronto Zoo, that there were recorded penguins having gay sex. And it caused quite...
Wait. That wasn't on the news. That was an episode of Littlest Hobo.
I think that's
what... Oh, no, it was on the news.
Yeah,
you're right.
On the news.
Sorry. Yeah.
It was the news delivered by the guest anchor, London.
Oh, you mean David Suzuki's dog, who's the hero of
Littlest Hobo. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, a couple of years ago, as you may recall, there was a story about capturing penguins engaged in gay sex. And people got up in arms about it, like if it was the first time it ever happened. Well, the penguins' explicit sex acts have been recorded for over 100 years, and they were too graphic to report. In fact, where is it in the story where the sexual habits of Adelie penguins in 1915, and it was bolded on the document, not for publication.
Oh.
So they were trying to censor the fact that penguins are a little pervy.
Well, tell me some of the kind of stuff they would do.
Wife swapping, necrophilia, sexual coercion, so rape. They had non-procreative sex. They made their own Scheiser videos.
Nothing wrong with that.
They have quite a collection of strap-ons.
What do they strap on? Like, penguins can't just buy a strap-on. What do they use?
What do you mean they can't just buy one?
Well, I mean, 100 years ago, there were no sex shops in Antarctica like there are now.
Yeah, but the passage of time has hidden away all of their glorious history.
Well, other birds, seagulls, use, like, those little miniature cobs of corn that you get, and they strap that on with a piece of seaweed. Is it something like that?
Well, that's why they would go fishing. They would use fish.
Oh,
it's frozen, right? They're in the South Pole.
Yeah, like a Captain Highlander fish stick or
exactly
bird's eye for you Americans. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I just thought it was interesting that what we think is news isn't really news.
It's amazing how that was. They wouldn't even publish that.
That's right.
Even though it was science.
Yeah. Here's an extract from November 10th, 1911.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
This afternoon, I saw an extraordinary sight. A penguin was actually engaged in sodomy upon the body of a dead white-throated bird of its own species. The act occurred a full minute. The position taken up by the cock, differing in no respect than an ordinary copulation, and the whole act was gone through down to the final depression of the cloaca.
Cloaca.
I can say,
well, nice
I can say, I can, I know, and I can say that because it's kind of like scientific.
I saw another act of astonishing depravity today. A hen, which had been in some way badly injured in the hindquarters, was crawling painfully along her belly. I was just wondering whether I ought to kill her or not when a cock noticed her in passing, went up to her, and after a short inspection, he deliberately raped her, she being quite unable to resist him.
Wait, that was when you were bringing the dog for a walk?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, well, it's Japan, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
An act of astonishing depravity is something we see every day.
Speaking of shocking acts, did you read about this story?
I'm checking my eyelids for pinholes. Was this that horror thing in Ottawa?
Yeah. So apparently in Ottawa there were girls, two or three of them, that lured other girls that were aged from 13 to 17 through social media.
So how old were the girls that were doing those? So it was basically pimp girls, right?
I haven't got to that point, but thanks for blowing the story for the listener.
Back to the story.
So the point of the story is that they are charged with human trafficking. They lured these girls through social media. The girls who are accused of it are from 15 to 17, and they're luring 13 to 17-year-olds to their place for social reasons and then basically forcing them into prostitution. And they're charged with human trafficking, robbery, procuring forcible confinement, sexual assault, othering threats, and abduction.
When you were their age, weren't you doing your own pimping and prostitution?
No, when I was their age, I had a paper out.
Well, do you think that's the reason they're doing these heinous crimes?
Yeah, I mean, how many times have you heard me say that the decline of the newspaper industry leads to forced prostitution?
You always say that. I know.
Hey, what do you think Conrad Black was in prison for? I'm pretty sure it was that.
I think so. Let me look it up. Yes, that's what he's in prison for. I don't know about this kind of thing because, I don't condone this kind of deal, but...
Well, I certainly hope not.
Yeah, but you think about Canada, especially now, you look at the unemployment rate for teens, it's got to be a case for entrepreneurship. Maybe not this kind, but if this was a man with a really cool hat with a feather on it, would we be so outraged?
Yeah, I think we would.
Hey, we're getting feedback from our listeners. Let's on the CB. Let's listen in.
Yeah.
I don't think we would.
Yeah, we would.
I think we would. We would.
One silver lining. When I say silver lining, I'm referring to not an actual silver lining, but the proverbial silver lining that's on every cloud.
Right.
Which is not actually there. One silver lining is that the girl, ate by a dingo, never got the chance to enslave her cohorts into sexual slavery.
Wow.
Well, it's, you know, it's kind of controversial, but...
It's a little controversial.
Well, you know, I don't think we'll get any feedback about this.
I don't think we would.
Wow. Well, let's get away from recent news, because it's really causing you some problems. With,
it is. You know what? I think I got to get... You know what?
Being charged in the Hague, in the International
I got to get rid of my clothes. You know, this is something I've learned from almost watching CSI, is that people always make a mistake of keeping the clothes they use when they commit the crime. I'm going to strip naked and run through the streets.
You could be like the fugitive, only a one-armed man. It was like the one bald man.
A nude fugitive running around Japan.
Let's fast forward from now to year 2080.
Okay, hit track two.
News from the year 2080.
Okay.
What's going on? What's going on in the future, Scott?
The future is naked. All of the excursions that people go on have basically been clothing not required at all.
What do you mean? All excursions are now clothing optional?
Yeah, it started way back in 2012 with Carnival Freedom having a cruise where there was basically everybody was naked.
Like what?
3,000 people, and it just went from there. And eventually you get to the point where just entire families are just driving down the 401. It's hard when it's a hot summer day, but they've made a lot of improvements in the heat transfer of leather in those 68 years.
I don't even understand that, but one thing I do understand is nude cruise. How do I get in on this? What is this all about? How can I... Like, you have to be on a special cruise. This is not just any cruise you can do this on, right? Can I go on the Love Boat?
Right now it is. Yeah, Captain Stubing.
Captain Stubing, can I just hang a rat at Julie?
Gopher?
Gopher.
And then Fred's just giving you the finger. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We made just about any relevant character there. Except for Doc.
No, I like the idea of the nude things, because the nude cruise, because first
makes
of all,
it
doesn't
easy
bother
pack.
Anybody.
Makes it easy to pack.
Makes it easy to pack.
Because I always have trouble, like, I know when I'm going to go anywhere, I overpack, right?
That's
but
true.
But this, I don't have to worry about it. So there is some benefit to it.
Yeah, you don't need a bathing suit.
No, it makes shuffleboard a lot more interesting.
Actually, I like this.
I'm starting to warm up to it. It's growing on me.
Now this type of nude tourism is right now is just ships, right? It's like cruise ships.
Yeah.
Could we have other types of nude tourism in the future?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for example, tour buses would be no problem, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you have a garage, then they can get in so the public doesn't get exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And then what about, what other types? What about just walking tours?
Well, I think some of those ranch vacations, you know, where you're like a dude ranch.
Oh, I got an idea. What if you went, let's say you're going to Rome, right, where the laws say probably there, you're not allowed to walk around the nude, but you could go on a nude walking tour, and people would walk around with big sheets of cardboard just to kind of hide you from public view.
I'd be outraged. Why do I have to hide myself?
Well, because
it's the year 2080. Have we not got past this?
When in Rome,
well,
let your rat hang out. What's a better term for that?
It would sound a lot cooler if you said it in Latin.
Cum Romam tibi mentula felis.
Yeah. You said it, brother.
Hey?
But you know what? You know,
our Latin listeners.
What I think. I think it'll expand from cruise ships through into different like bike tours.
Bike tours. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think eventually it'll be even rock climbing. But what's going to be the last bastion will probably be Everest. I don't know if any dude can hang with
it, right?
And the shrinkage.
Yeah.
Like how? Oof, that's some serious shrinkage.
They're going to be microscopic by the time you get up there.
It's true. But the funny thing is that if you're nude, when you're nude, are you completely naked or can you wear shoes? I think I'd like to know if you can wear shoes, because a lot recently they've had research that says that you can judge up to 90% of people's personalities by their shoes.
If I'm going on this cruise ship, I'm going to try to choose a pair of shoes that says, here's what I'm all about.
But
like, what about you? What kind of shoes are you going to wear to express yourself?
Claw. clogs.
Well, I'm wearing some pretty sexy shoes now.
But yeah. And let me guess. Thigh-high stiletto dominatrix heels.
Where's our apple pie?
You are strong and disciplinarian. But yeah, the thing that's interesting about that is that if you can tell people's personalities by their shoes, what happens if their personality is deceptive and they're wearing different kinds of shoes to throw you off the scent? Because let's face it, if you're in a naked vacation and all you've got to go on is the shoes.
Oh, you could really.
You could just reinvent yourself with, you know, some penny loafers.
Or if you wear some gum tuckies or rubber boots, people will think you are a squid jigger.
In those situations, people really care what other people think.
Sometimes
you can be really tense about, like, I just hope that that person thinks well of me. For example, I read recently that to everybody's great relief, Bret Michaels of Poison came out and said congratulations to Miley Cyrus, that he totally approves of their super exciting engagement. And I think
that's great.
I speak on behalf of the entire Cyrus family, Miley and Billy Ray, when I go, because I'm sure there were more than a few tense moments while they waited with bated breath. Yeah, I mean, like, what is Bret going to say? Like, what is he going to think? My daughter's got engaged, and I haven't heard yet whether he approves. He's like the papal sanction, you know?
He's the papal sanction
of rock.
He's related to him or her somehow, right?
No, his opinion really means a lot. Like, notice Kim Kardashian did not get Bret Michaels' approval.
Ooh,
and look what happened to her. Yeah, and David Arquette and Courtney Cox, he was kind of on the fence about it. So it went for a good, 10, 12 years?
Is there some sort of way of knowing what Bret Michaels thinks about something like the puff of smoke for the Pope? Does he have a similar kind of thing?
Usually you can tell by the way he dresses. Does he dress to the left or to the right?
What do you mean, the bandana on his head?
I meant in his pants, but...
But
you're right. You can.
Is he in his hammer? His hammer.
We just don't have the science to really decipher it and break down. We need code breakers.
Oh, so wait, Miley Cyrus. Who is she marrying anyway? Who's this guy?
I don't care. I just know that Bret Michaels approves. That's good enough for me. The seal of approval, you know, like the seal of quality. That's Inspector 37 for the Fruit of the Looms. And that's what I got. When I see the Bret Michaels seal of approval, stamp, ka-chink, I'm good.
Me too. So it's like getting a 5-star rating.
It is.
Miley Cyrus.
Of 5-star ratings, if you want to continue to enjoy this kind of witty reportage on Bret Michaels, then please feel free to go immediately to iTunes, pause this, go immediately to iTunes and give us a fantastic 5-star review, because it's this kind of commentary and reviewing that is going to ensure that we get to a wider audience and maybe sell a few of those t-shirts and merch that we have in the back of the 18-wheelers.
So whenever I hear the name Miley Cyrus,
it
makes me think of Cyrus.
Yes, the defense secretary during Kennedy.
No. I mean Cyrus, the leader of all the gangs in the Warriors, the guy that gets shot at the beginning of the movie.
Really?
In England right now, it's like the Warriors with ice cream vans. There's like gang turf wars going on.
Is there any clips of this?
Yeah, I'll put a clip on the show notes. Check it out.
Wow.
It's these guys are two ice cream dudes.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
These two ice cream guys get into a big argument and then they're smashing each other up and you gotta see it.
Was soccer hooliganism not enough for these people? Well, it kind of goes with soccer, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wish ice cream trucks would stick to what they know well, abducting children.
You know what? Like, if they run out of, like, if these wars continue, people are going to have to go and start knife sharpening again. That would be a good one. If they're really fighting a lot, then it would be good that one of these guys smartens up and becomes that knife sharpening guy that you never see anymore.
Oh, the knife sharpening van. Yeah. They could fight each other.
Yeah.
Or they could hang around. I get it. They stay near the ice cream vendors as, like, arms dealers to the ice cream vendors.
Yeah.
Hey, I need a new knife today. I got a big fight, you know. Oh, yeah, I'll make some for you out of old lawnmower blades.
Speaking of delicious vehicular mix-ups, I put a thing to you for show notes about the syrup. Is this really made up?
So there was a
Hungry Jack syrup truck spills onto...
Hungry Jack syrup spills onto Buttermilk Pike.
That sounds...
We're not making this up, folks. The news, the media is making
it up. It sounds not true.
Now, okay, so here's the article. There's a highway truck, and it spilled its load on Buttermilk Pike Overpass in northern Kentucky.
Yeah.
Okay. Buttermilk, Hungry Jack syrup spilling onto the highway, semi-trailer, giant pancakes were used to clean up the mess.
Giant pancakes were used to clean up the mess?
That's what it says in the article.
That's
I'm not
true.
Reading it exactly as printed, but that's the gist.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good in a synopsis. It's crazy. It doesn't sound real to me.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know, if you eat too much of that stuff off of Buttermilk Pike, you might end up rotting your teeth, and that would mean you aren't going to go to space.
That doesn't even make sense, what you just said there. What you just said does not make sense.
Well, I know, but it's not my rule. It's the rule of the Chinese astronaut program.
Chinese astronaut program?
No,
tell me about that.
The Chinese.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm slurring because I'm drunk.
Male astronauts
can have
China.
Shitty teeth. They can have stinky body odor and just smell awful.
Well, just like our Canadian astronauts.
Well, yes, it's a badge of honor. Like, you know, wash yourself in Tang. But the Chinese female astronauts,
yeah,
they need to have perfect teeth.
What?
According to their program coordinators, they say otherwise it could result in a disaster in space.
So if their teeth aren't perfect, it could cause a space disaster. What kind of space disaster are they talking about?
I have no idea. I think that they think that Moonraker was actually a documentary.
It wasn't?
Yeah. No, it wasn't. Jaws wasn't real. But it's weird that there would be Jaws in Moonraker, and then Jaws the movie with the shark, right? Because I kind of
they come
those
out around the same time.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
So this is new because you know China hasn't had astronauts for too long. When do they start putting people in space?
Have they put anybody in space? Yes, they have.
Yes. Okay. In the future, do you think the Chinese government
were they willing to go to space?
Oh yeah, no. There's probably enough people that want to go to space.
Or was it like
kids,
it was like Superman 2?
That's the one with Richard Pryor. He goes skiing on the top of a building.
I think that's like Superman 12.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. What about, what were you saying?
Well, I'm just saying in the future, are they going to still do this? Are they going to let odoriferous hags into space?
I think that over time.
Did I say that right? Is it odoriferous or odoriferous?
I don't know. I don't speak Chinese.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. It's a good question. I guess only time will tell. I don't know why the smell should be a big deal, because if you're in one of those suits, you're really just going to smell yourself, right?
Yeah.
Like you've got a thing that goes from your butt up to your head.
Can't they just
to the fishbowl that you wear?
Some cylinders, Axe body spray, and just have it constantly spraying into the spaceship air.
That's a really good idea, except for it would attract all those ladies.
And douchebags.
That's true.
Do you think we'll ever have
speaking
douchebags
of douchebags, speaking of douchebags,
yeah.
I just wanted to say that apparently you'll hear it here first. I can't believe that I'm about to utter these words. Rick Santorum was right.
Rick Santorum, he's horrible. How could he be right about anything?
Well, you know how he equated gay marriage to turtle marriage. Well, apparently, turtles are destroying the sanctity of marriage.
What?
And this couple of turtles that have been together for 115 years are divorcing.
What?
So, yeah. So, Mr. Sweater Vest, douchey douche, was right.
Okay, I'm looking at this article. We get the feeling they can't stand the sight of each other anymore, said zoo director Helga Happ to Austrian Times.
You know what's
so sad?
I know. Sometimes that's almost like how people describe our relationship.
Yeah.
Also by somebody named Helga.
Absolutely. There's nothing more you can say about that. It's a very depressing story.
I know. It's terrible. Like, if the turtles don't have a chance, what chance do we have?
Look, it's sad when people split up after a couple of years, but 115 years, you'd think, well, you know, why don't you go on a little bit more? But turtles live to be like 180, don't they?
I guess. So that's like their 7-year itch?
Yeah, this is second life. He gets to, you know.
Is that a video game for turtles where they have a virtual turtle life?
I think you were talking about Frogger. That wasn't true. Well, that's good. And, you know, at least he gets to have some new pussy. And she gets to have some new turtle.
Let's...
It's like the penguins we were talking about before.
Except for turtles are not depraved. Except for
but
the
it must be, you know, after 115
turtle.
Years, it must be really nice to, you know, try a fresh one.
Sure.
Like maybe a tight 90-year-old turtle.
Yeah, roll with that, Ray.
Speaking of tight 90-year-olds, why don't we switch over to the subject of talking about the land I come from, Japan.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Empire. This is a part of the show where I ask Ray about futuristic life and futuristic Japan.
Well, we were talking about Japan earlier, when we were talking about tight 9-year-olds. Did you know that when you came to Japan... By tight, I mean they're not willing to divulge any secrets.
Yes.
That's what I mean by tight. Now, when you visited Japan once.
I have visited Japan at least twice that I'm allowed to talk about.
Do you remember seeing a lot of doctors walking around the streets?
It's crazy.
Well, it turns out they're not actually doctors.
What? I was asking these people to turn my head and cough.
I keep showing them my goiter.
That is really, really a good use of healthcare resources.
So so they refused. They didn't help you with your cough?
No, not really. But they did gift wrap it, oddly enough.
Well, they didn't help me with my groin goiter either, because guess what? They're not doctors.
Oh.
I mean, technically they could be, but people just wear surgical masks all the time.
Sure.
Like, you'll walk down the street and there's people with surgical masks.
It's like people wearing crosses in our Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
It goes with their suit?
No, most of the time they're sick. Like, if people get a cold, they generally put on a mask. And it's polite. I mean, it keeps you from coughing and sneezing on other people. And it lets everybody know that you've got a cold.
Right. Or maybe there's a lot of people who aren't going to become Chinese astronauts around, and they stink.
Well, it's a really good way to hide bad teeth.
Yes, and that's one other way to get into the Chinese female astronaut program.
I do think a lot of people are shy and they wear those masks. I really think so, especially like cashiers and stuff. I think some people I've seen, cashiers, always wearing it, like the same cashier. I mean, they could be sick, have some sort of chronic illness, but maybe not.
That's weird, though. Like, they put little faces on them, like dog faces.
I found out about that. Okay, people who wear, like, different patterns and colors, they're generally not Japanese people.
What are they?
Sometimes Korean tourists. It's very rare for Japanese people to have anything printed on the masks. It's just not. White mask is the way to go.
Okay. Yeah. Do they wear any other kind of, like, do they wear a lot of rubber gloves?
Oh, they have these things
to help
that
the groping.
Go into your nostrils.
They do.
They're like little, yeah, it's like a little filters you stick inside your nostrils that filters the air.
Really?
And yeah, they wear rubber gloves because of the groping issues. The groping's really started up again. It's flared up in Tokyo.
So did you finish explaining it? Because it's not very clear. So just because they're sick, they wear a thing?
Yeah, generally, that's why. I mean, some people are afraid. Let's say you're going to an office and you know other people are sick. Maybe you're going to wear a mask.
Hmm.
And there's also hay fever.
Yes, well, you know, I suffered from that over there.
We have like a pine tree thing in the mountains, and it blows down the pollen all over the place. The other thing
I had to get that GIMP mask, you know, like from Pulp Fiction. It was the only way I was able to survive.
Well, people just thought it was totally normal to wear it, too.
Totally normal.
Because everybody wears masks here. Yeah.
I was just sitting on the subway. Nobody's even looking at me.
The other thing, too, is not just pollen. There's a yellow dust from China, and it sparkles like the dew.
What?
It blows. Yeah, yeah. So they get these dust storms in China, and they blow over Japan, and people get allergies and sickness
from the Gobi.
Because of it.
It's because of the
Angora
Gobi
sweaters.
Exactly.
Japanese people are buying Angora wool and causing
these
dust
storms. Oh, my God. And I was just going to say that that's one of the biggest naked vacation thing is alpaca vacations, naked alpaca riding vacation.
That must be nice.
It must be.
When I came to Canada the last time, I put one of those masks on in the plane just for the jowl part, the Japanese part. Then once I got to Canada, I felt really weird putting it on.
Yeah.
It really keeps your nose from getting dry, and you're breathing in all kinds of spit and stuff like that in an airplane.
Uh-huh.
So, but then I felt really weird about wearing it, because I thought, well, maybe the people beside me will think, I think they stink, or I think they're gross or something. Like,
right.
You know, it's not accepted to wear one. It's kind of Michael, like, people make fun of Michael Jackson for wearing one.
I know, and if you're making fun of Michael Jackson, my God.
Good Lord.
What is nothing sacred?
Why don't we put these masks in other places, too, on other parts of our body?
Okay, like where?
On your rectum.
Well, that would be problematic.
Well, hear me out. When you
I am going to hear you out.
When someone ructates, it creates a mist, a fecal mist. Did you know? You ever watch it in a slow motion camera?
I'm afraid I am not as educated as you.
Well, we were kids. We used to light them, right? But, yeah. It creates fecal particles.
Well, that was the only source of power out in our empire, as I recall.
Yeah.
Here's some yams, boys.
Here's some yams, boys. We got to start up the generator.
Yeah.
Yeehaw!
That was your nickname in high school, the generator.
The generator. Yeah, we'd eat yams, we'd sing racist songs, and we'd generate electricity. The great Frasier once said, all the world's a stage. Japan's younger generation is shunning the world stage.
How?
Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. You know, people in, our generation in Japan, man and older tend to be, you know, look outward. They would, you know, be interested in international things, foreign TV shows, learning different languages. And the young people today in Japan, they don't care about that stuff. They kind of look inward to their own country. They don't want to learn English. They don't, aren't interested in foreign stuff. They're looking in more and more, which is really different compared to the rest of the world, where, you know, I think younger generations are very interested in international stuff compared to, even compared to when we were kids, right? Like, they're, I think your child will be speaking many languages, and your child will be completely internationally integrated, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I will let him eat pizza and Chinese food and burritos, whatever Kentucky Fried Chicken is.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, I think, is Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Polo.
Do you remember, we were talking about AKB48 for several episodes.
Japanese
girl band. Well, they have, unfortunately, I can't think of the name of them. They have a rival group created with the same producers. Well, they have a commercial where they're advertising some new cell phone. And this phone is very camera-centric. You can take pictures. You can take high-speed, you know, a whole bunch of pictures. Compared to...
Is there anything about candies going from one mouth to the other?
Let's get to that in a minute. Remind me about that. So anyway, these girls are running around with these cameras taking pictures of each other. And it's like a game. It's like, how many... We're going to run around the city and take pictures. Well, they're on the subway taking pictures. But it's against the rules for people to take pictures on the subway, because a lot of perverts do it. Well, why is it okay for teenage girls to take pictures on the subway?
Double standard.
So you remember there was an AKB commercial, AKB 48 commercial, with these girls passing candies to one another.
Do I?
Same commercial. The commercial starts off. The girl passes the candy. All of a sudden, the girl next to her turns into a girl made of candy. And the girl made of candy passes the candy to another girl made of candy.
What's
and
that supposed
the same
to mean?
Commercial. What's the same commercial, except the girls are no longer girls. The girl's made of candy.
No, like, people love candy. Is that why?
Well, no, because they got complaints about the original commercial promoting homosexuality, which I think is great, but people don't like it.
But hot girl-on-girl action, is that really homosexuality?
Let's say yes.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
But anyway, that's the update. It's somehow less offensive when it's candy girls passing candy to one another.
Yeah, but it's no
oral flora.
It's no penguin necrophilia, right? Like, come on, guys.
Yeah, come on. Loosen up a little bit. Speaking of candy, where's my apple pie? We ordered it ages ago.
What?
Scott, when you were driving here, did you stop at the truck inspection station?
I sure did, and there was a Polak school bus there.
A Polak school bus? Please refresh my memory. What's that?
It's a cattle truck.
Oh, you know, CB lingo is just so sensitive.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is from the 70s.
Well,
that was on every All in the Family episode.
Peel your eyeballs, Scott. We got to peel off pretty soon because, you know, Smokey Bear is on our tail. I believe you passed the chicken coop.
I did, but I got to say, the OL says that I need to find the nap trap.
OL, you mean Oral Lovin'?
No, the old lady.
Oh, same thing. Am I right, fellas? Hey!
I really think that this language is going to take off. It could be...
You think CB slang is going to come back?
Oh, yeah. It fits into the 140-character world we're in.
Well, you sped past that pig pen like a bolt of lightning, and we got to get the hell out of there. Let them truckers roll, 10-4.
All right, here's looking at you.
10-4, Big Beaver, what's your 20?
Here's looking at you.
Keep the bugs off your glass.
Live long and prosper. No, wait. Breaker, 1-9, this here is Beef Jerky. You got a copy on me?
Hey, Beef Jerky, I got a copy on you. 10-4, Rubber Ducky. 10-4, Beef Jerky, this is, Butthole.
It's clean, clear, light down, come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Butthole.
We ever seen the movie Star Wars? I said, anybody out there in Trucker Town ever seen the movie Star Wars?
Sure have, there.
Because I got a woman next to me that looks just like Yoda.
10-4, Big Butthole, what's your 20?
Japan, now go to Japan.
Well, they ought to know what to do with them hogs out there for sure. Well, mercy.
They sure do know what to do with them hogs. For sakes, good buddy. We gotta back on out of here, so keep the bugs off your glass and the bears off your
tail.
Don't let Ramble said a swear word.
We'll get you on the flip-flop. Little beaver's female.
Bye-bye, everybody.
We'll be back.
We'll see you back to the future.